Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays. Well, not Delta Green Plays. So, what are we playing? Dungeons and Dragons.
It's been a minute.
Good.
Oh, God, such a strong start.
I feel uncomfortable being this close to you. After
I know it's
seeing you say that and stare at me through a screen, but now you're staring at your soul and saying that.
Now I'm staring into your soul. I wasn't before.
Can you say it again and make it more intense?
The welcome back,
yes.
Back part?
Yeah.
Welcome back!
Could you not, please?
Sorry, I almost made Robert do a spit take. But yeah, welcome back. This is Green Box Gaming for our Christmas one-shot of D&D.
Have a happy holiday Christmas.
With an original song from Bass.
I think he just made up lyrics to an
Flappy Dappy Crappy Hanukkah Mus.
Oh, there you go. I am, of course, joined by Dace.
Yo.
I am joined by Brad.
Hello.
We're joined by John.
We're joined.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, yeah, there he is. He lagged a little bit. And we are joined again by our special guest.
Oh, as the lag kicks in. Yep.
I'm back, baby.
He's already in character.
He's
the Daniel Day-Lewis of D&D podcast.
Right. He's actually been living in a doghouse in the back.
And surgically removed his kneecap.
Several murders just this morning.
We are unfortunately not joined in person by Jean, who, as we have covered earlier, seems to have this strange fascination with his own family back in his own country around Christmas time. But he is joining us virtually, so it'd be a little disjointed sometimes with Jean, but we are glad we have the whole crew together. So,
indeed.
Is there anything that anyone... We do need to take a picture of this whole setup. Holy God, this is...
Do a screen cap, John. Screen capture.
Yeah, do a screen cap of this.
I'm just this. Oh, wait. Oh, you want me to do one while you're all looking good? Or do you want me to do one in situ when it's just your normal faces?
Oh, just both. Why not both, John? How about that?
Missed it.
John's girlfriend says hi in the chat. She's listening.
Yes. Thank you for joining me, Jessica.
I didn't know if she wanted to use her name.
Okay, well, yeah, we doxed her. Yeah, she's done.
We doxed her.
The fans are going to get her. They're really vicious.
Post her address when you get a spare moment, Sean.
Yeah, when you get a sec. But just put it on the Reddit. It's a pretty good placement.
What's the last thing she's purchased?
So, guys, it's been a whole year since we got together for D&D. We've been up to our eyeballs in Delta Green. Did we finish Reverberations at the beginning of this? At the beginning of this year.
That's a question for John. When do we finish Reverberations?
You think I remember?
That was your baby, John.
But we've been up to our eyeballs in Delta Green between Impossible Landscapes and Music from a Darker Room, which I'm really excited to get back to a little bit once we get back. But that being said, we are back in the wonderful fantasy world, Dungeons and Dragons. Back to our first love.
Yes.
In the D&D world.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah. And so why don't we just get started right back into it? You guys ready?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
And you know, the best thing about this whole process is that everyone showed up completely ready to go, that no one had to say, oh, Joe, I don't know where my character sheet is. I think it's on the Roll 20 game.
That would have sucked if it had happened.
And that would have sucked if it had happened. Or, you know, if someone had said, oh, wait, my character sheet doesn't actually have anything really on it, and has spent the last 10 minutes filling in all their stuff.
Also would have sucked had it happened. And had it actually been more like 45 minutes.
I think the people who were prepared should get an automatic joke in.
I just started this game. Which would be all of us, because we were all prepared.
And at that point, it's like, if everyone has one, then no one might as well.
You know, you should know this, Mr. Psychology. Positive reinforcement. You haven't been reinforcing him.
Everybody gets ahead in life, then nobody's ahead. We can't all win.
Yeah, there need to be losers.
Yes.
I just want to point out, I had to do absolutely nothing but walk in with my sheets, and I was ready.
And Robert is ready to go. You know what, Brad, you're right. Robert,
is it something I want?
It's actually our version of, like, you get a point to roll again, basically. Like, you can re-roll with your
butt. Joe gets to give you a massive wedgie.
I don't think that's part of how y'all actually
do it. These are D&D rules.
Well, I usually have someone on Fiverr that show up at the house, but now I'm here in person. So I should do it myself. All right, guys, last time. We are in a bit of a homebrewish world, the world of the Silver Empire.
Yes.
Last time, you guys found yourself in a bit of a sticky wicket. Tam, Polo Marco, and Leon. I was going to say Jacques, other stereotypical French name. And Leon were, after working with Rolf, an artificer of some renown, had been teleported with their entire shop into the middle of the busiest street in the busiest city, probably on the entire continent, and may have killed or disappeared a bunch of people in that process and been thrown in jail. And, completely coincidentally, Blaze McRazzle happened to also be in the marketplace at that time and was kind of guilty by association. hey, Sean, real quick, can you give us a... remind us what Blaze's accent sounds like?
And, like, just what's his deal? Like, what's his deal, man?
Oh, yeah, he was a bit of a chameleon, and this may have been, it's pure coincidence that this was early on in my own career of podcasting, but he was a bit of a chameleon to accents, and he would just adopt whoever was talking to him.
We call him Dragonborn, okay?
Yeah, chameleon is a slur.
He's a Dragonborn. Oh.
You know, that's the whole thing.
I'm imagining he was a little bit of like a... Oh, I've just gone blank. The lizard people in Morrowind and...
Argonians.
Yes, thank you. He's got like a bit of an Argonian deal to
him. Except when unless he talks to Leon, where he becomes French again.
Yes, he did become French at some point. Yeah.
But you guys, had been in prison for 2 years, had all sorts of fun adventures. Tant had found God.
That's right.
Taken his paladin dip. Leon had made a bunch of pruno. Mm-hmm. And I think Polo Marco had done what he always does, no matter where he is, and had slaughtered as much as
Marco possible. Polo didn't even know he's in prison.
He was back on that time.
Pure joy.
Just pure joy. It's like, it's my birthday again!
Gosh, shakes!
But, so, you guys were sent basically on, let's call it what it was, a suicide mission. You guys were sent on a suicide mission as kind of an alternative to a death sentence. That's like, alright, we're really going to put you guys to death, but listen, it sounds like there are these tablets that have these copies of this original law from the original emperor many, many centuries ago. That may exonerate you. And not only may they exonerate you, but they're also, like, priceless. They're priceless to not just the Empire, but to the Inquisitor who was there to you. They kind of view, almost imagine them as being, we've kind of compared them to street judges, like from Judge Dredd, but they also kind of worship legal text in a way. Like, it's considered to be almost holy for them. And they sent you on this mission into the Tomb City. Can anybody remember the awful name that I came up with for the Tomb City that is really hard to say?
I cannot.
Not a chance.
Nope.
All
right. It was Sepulchopolis.
Sepulchopolis. What were you thinking, man?
Yes.
You're right. It's bad, and I love it. So you guys went down to the Sepulchopolis, the Tomb City underneath Highwall City, underneath the capital city, which is this place where there were these ancient civilization had built basically kind of clone factories that eventually went bad and started producing mutants. You guys went down there and you went through a completely unrelated to any classic movie series in which an archaeologist may or may not go through a series of challenges.
Legally distinct challenges.
Legally distinct challenges.
And non-derivative
challenges. That were definitely not specifically made for each of you. Eventually getting all the way to the end, to this strange bookstore where you were given these tablets, and then you fought your way back up through the flesh factories, eventually coming face to face with the wall of flesh that was boiling up from the city to devour you.
Did you have an actual name for this monster? Like, in your lore, or was it just like...
It's just a wall of flesh. A wall of flesh is actually from Terraria, I think is the name. There's a creature in Terraria that's a wall of flesh. But it's just equally as good for this.
Mm.
So I did rip that off a bit. Not the original idea of the name. But you guys were able to escape the giant vault doors. I will remind you that you did, along the way, lose all of the researchers that came with you, including Dr. Clark Mark, who was this historian, and one of you whose name I will not mention, may have cast a spell on Stephen, the mundane lawyer, to get him to come with. And
I swear, it's not the same guy that does this in Delta Green.
No.
It's not.
Of course not.
It's not the guy that ropes in. No.
You know, that's a really good point. This is a bit of a pattern with you.
It's a bit of a pattern. Yeah.
You guys lost Stephen the mundane lawyer along the way, and you were basically told, "Okay, listen, we totally thought you were going to die down there, but you didn't. You're now exiled. You're exiled forever." Like, you're exiled from specifically the capital city. We'd really like if you didn't really even come in the whole capital state at all. But you're definitely exiled from the capital city, never, ever to return. They put your asses out on the road and said, get the hell out of here, don't come back. And in the epilogue of last time, we saw also that Judge Phineas Brittlecreek, who was the judge presiding over your trial, looking over the tablets and discovering that they may not have been what they were supposed to have been. That in the end, it seems like you guys may have not actually done the job you were supposed to do. But lo and behold,
you were telling the story, I'm like surprised. Maybe it wasn't imparted on us how priceless they were, or maybe they're not priceless to anyone besides the judges, but I'm surprised we didn't like swindle one of these, sneak one of these out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so that being said, you guys, at this point, Jean, I'm going to try to drop this image to you so that you can see it in the Discord, and you will have to follow along basically as best you can. You guys are in a little place. Let me pull up the map here so we can all... Actually, I don't have it, so no one's going to see it. Okay, never mind. Forget that. Totally correct. You guys are in the Silver Empire. The Silver Empire was built from several kingdoms that were all brought together. In the very middle of it all is basically the capital, the original capital, state, which is called the Silver Plains. You guys have basically, when you guys left that day, you were forced west. You were forced to another state called Lanik, which is not very well known for anything other than swamps. Its biggest claim to fame is that it has one of the largest ports on the ocean. It's like a huge for kind of naval trade and stuff like that. But it is not a super great place overall. It's not, it's kind of considered like the, I apologize to those our fans from Louisiana. But it's like
you sent us to New Orleans.
Yeah, I sent you guys to the bayou. Is where you guys are. And that's where you guys have been. You guys have managed to land in this big port city called Lake Forge, which is where you've been for the last year. Now, I will remind you of one thing, which I'm almost certain that all of you have forgotten. One of your party was able to escape one of the challenges with quite a lot of gold. Does anyone recall who this was?
Tam.
Of course it's Tam.
How much gold?
He's going to do with all that gold.
No. So
So, but he's a man of God now.
So he's a man of God, but you're wrong. It's Leon.
Okay.
Leon had a big old fat sack of gold.
Yeah, I see bag of gold.
Bag of gold. Oh, yes. Which we're going to go with ended up being about, end of the day, about 5,000 gold pieces, which is a lot.
And I think this entire year, Leon's just hanging it over everybody's head and like, you will get the peace if you do this for me. And like, just send them out insurance and
stuff. Well, so here's my question. Here's now, you know, I've laid the scene for you guys. So you guys have been in Lake Forge, which is this big port city, the last year. What do you think you've been doing? Like, I guess my first question, did you all guys stick together? Have you guys trauma bonded sufficiently at this point that it's just not fun to be away from each other?
I know Marco would definitely go with Leon.
Wherever Leon goes, yeah. Marco's there, yeah.
Yeah.
Temp, being a man of God, has probably become like a street preacher. But the thing about street preaching is it doesn't pay too much.
Oh, no.
So he's got to ride Leon's coattails. So that's why he stuck around.
Leon would try to use all this to his advantage, and instead of starting a new brewery or what was it, absinthe bar,
yeah.
he would get probably Marco Polo to kill every bar owner in the city and then bribe Tamp to preach the goodwill of Leon's magic elixir, like a hill law.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
What about Blaze? Where's Blaze?
Blaze is, he's in the shadows. He's probably been watching this entire thing, because you probably did trauma bond at the time, but in the shadows, he's just been watching everybody's story. But actually, he's, to you guys, he's disappeared. But he's been watching. He's kind of like planning something big, like, this could be a very big mark.
So he, like, he's just out there doing his own thing.
You seem to, I think everybody seems to glimpse him in the corner every now and then, but nobody's actually seen or heard from him directly.
Right. Okay, so I guess my question then for Leon, for the one who, like, are you going to take that money and that you have and try to, and like, are you going to, like, you know, maybe once one of these, you know, tavern owners suffers a completely normal, natural death of being stabbed 48 times in the face. Once someone dies from completely natural stab wounds, are you going to swoop in and, like, buy a place on the cheap? Like,
I reckon that's probably what he would do, try to, like, get more money. You know, use the money to gain more money.
Okay, I got you.
Unless somebody wants something fancy, of course, he would reach into his purse for his, for Polo or Tamp.
I need a shiny new set of daggers, Daddy.
You shouldn't have any you want.
Man of God don't need nothing more than the robes on his back and a spring in his step.
I love the idea.
Just remember, Polo, you get a knife for every person you kill.
At some point in time, there's just like a little log cabin built of just knives. Oh, God. All right, so, well, I guess it's like, I think the funny thing about Tamp doing street preaching, keep in mind, Tamp's level 7. 5 of those levels are barbarian. 2 of those levels are paladin. So in a way, he's only 2/7 street preacher and 5/7 of just barbarian, just out there on the streets.
He's still barbarian.
Yeah, he's still barbarian.
What man of God? If there wasn't a struggle, would it be worth it to be a man of faith?
There you go. Well, and so I guess my question for you then, do you think Leon is going to try to put himself up in a nice place? Or do you think Leon knows that there's some utility in the dock sides?
I think he would, he tried to go big when he got to the high wall, right? Yeah, city. And the second he got there, for some reason, his business was plowed onto hundreds of people and they died. So maybe he's going to try to do like a low profile this go around. Just so the DM can't do anything like that.
I love the idea of Leon shaking his hand, his fist to the heavens. I know what you did last time, Doomy. No, okay, so, all right, so dock sides it is, sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, so for the last year, you guys have been, can we come to a consensus on what this place is called?
Where our main little
base
of operations
is. It's like a tavern. What do you think?
Maybe also Leon sees like maybe this crowd that Tam's been preaching to, he thinks he can take advantage of as well. So he Tam, what do you believe this haven, safe haven for your people shall be called?
Oh man, I'm over here like, do you remember the god that Tam? Because I remember there was absolutely a god that I picked out.
Yeah, it is.
And it's one that you were familiar with.
Yep, Lathander.
Lathander, how the fuck did you remember that?
The Morning Lord.
The Morning Lord.
Yep.
Yeah. So maybe something to do with Lathander.
He's like a sun god.
The Lathander Latrine.
How about the House of the Rising Sun?
The House of the Rising
That's
Sun.
That's in New Orleans, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, House of the Rising Sun it is.
Just got a search.
Maybe it's called the House of the Rising Sun, but on the street, everybody calls it
the Anders Latrine.
No, I like it. Okay, all right, so, there's a... So there's a little bit of a philanthropy going on, or maybe something that looks like philanthropy.
Oh yeah, no. Nothing's given.
Only taken.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys have been scraping by, and Lake Forge, with this sudden dearth of tavern owners, just like no one knows where they've all gone. There's been a bit of a power vacuum since you guys have showed up. It seems that the second you guys show up somewhere that there's always some problem. And since you guys have shown up, there has been a lot of movement on the docks, like kind of down where the House of the Rising Sun is. And basically you guys have been, so here's the thing about, remember I said 5,000 gold?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think is going to come out of my mouth next?
It's gone.
Yeah, of course.
Can we not? I mean, can I say, is there anything y'all want specially that y'all, if y'all thought about it at all, like item wise, that could be bought to add to your character sheet? I mean, does anyone eat? Like, do y'all even have like a plus one to your weapon? Like a.
I got just one. I want a bag, the never ending bag.
A bag of holding,
yes, thank you.
Could I buy a bag of holding for Polo? Just stuff all the heads.
Okay, you know what? You can.
Okay.
You can. You have a bag of holding, but it only holds heads.
There go all my plans immediately. Come that
way. No, I'm kidding. You can have a regular bag of holding.
Yes.
Does Tamp want anything?
Ever since he became a man of God. And ever since he shrugged off that itch, that horrible monkey on his back, he don't need nothing much, nothing much.
So nothing. He just wants nothing.
All he wants is to bask in the glory of the Morning Lord and spread the good word, brother.
Well, Leon will know better. Having stock of his magic powder, Andy, he needs the old. So that's what Leon will use.
You like bias first law trilogy. You're just like so pulling the strings from the background at this point.
I mean, I do want to get something for Ken John, but you're not. You're in the dark. You've been keeping your distance from us. So
I've been keeping our distance, but at some stage Leon will remember that his little skull cufflinks that he treasured so. So dearly, they were taken from him. So
No. No, Polo stole them from the guy originally, and then Blaze stole them from Polo.
Okay, all right. I thought they were Leon's.
So Polo just keeps talking about this random lizard that just keeps following him around, and Leon's like, I think you have had too much time awake. Go to sleep, and gives him like something. Concoction to drink to like knock him out every time.
A baby bottle with a nipple on.
Yeah. Well, Leon's an alchemist. I mean,
yeah. That, so he makes Polo has some sleep time whenever he starts talking about some crazy
spray that he put on a rag.
Crazy dragon boy falls in there on the Hickson skull. That's how you keep Polo in check.
So has Blaze, like, what's Blaze and Tamp's situation? Do they ever interact?
No, I think it's strange. I think maybe Blaze happened to run into Polo at some point. As I thought, he's doing Polo. And he tries to, like, gaslight him, and Polo recognizes him. He's like, no, but you speak nothing of this. You speak nothing of our meeting. And that's like, causing Polo's, like, lashing out with Leon every now and then. He's like, no. If you are very quiet, I will give you one of these skull cufflinks.
Well, you know, and speaking of the skull cufflinks, do you remember where you got them originally?
I don't remember this.
Yeah. At the trial... that this entire scheme to get you guys out of the death penalty, basically it was all organized by this tiefling named Ejivar. And Ejivar worked for an organization called the Richter Initiative. It's basically like the magical CIA. They has told you that you have friends in high places, and that it was Ejivar and this Richter Initiative that basically created this whole situation that you guys could live. And here's the thing, Leon, about the money that may or may not be there. So it's not just like you've spent it. Like, nothing happened to it specifically, but you have had to regularly pay protection to multiple gangs here. And to be frank, I'd imagine you're all getting pretty damn tired of it at this juncture. You guys aren't nobody at this point. It's only been a year here, and you guys have a bit of a name, despite the fact that's called Lathander's Latrine. Like on the streets, you guys do have a name, but again, there's been this kind of constant drag on your finances, and not just from the gangs not to pay protection money and stuff, but the Richter Initiative keeps showing up and asking for favors. In their mind, you guys owe them. You guys owe them for the fact that they saved your lives, basically. That they created the scheme to kind of get you out of jail. And in that time, they have been asking you to do a few favors here and there for them, for agents in the area and whatnot. So this is actually where we're going to start. Actually, before we even get into what the real mission, I want to see how well you guys have done at some of the things that the Richter Initiative has wanted you to do over the last year.
Okay.
So how about this? Let's start with this one. A few months or shortly after you guys kind of got settled, you guys were approached by Ejivar, actually showed up in town and told you that he had a friend of his friend who he needed you guys to help lay low for a few days. And then after that, after retrieving this friend from a friend from the docks, that he actually needed you to basically watch after and help him get on a different ship. And it was all fine and good. You met him at the docks, invited him in, let him lay low at the House of the Rising Sun for a few days. But then he needed to get on a ship, but the problem is he needed to smuggle himself onto the ship, and he asked you guys to help him. How do you think you guys would help someone smuggle themselves onto a ship to stow away?
Put him in a crate.
In a crate?
Hide him under my robes.
That's okay.
Put him in the crate idea. I like the crate idea.
You like crate?
I feel like, I don't know.
Is Blaze even present for this, do you think?
Yeah, he's always there. Like, strangely enough, he's always there, but just never seen.
Okay. So you got
this fucking character.
He's a little stalkery. Yes,
I feel like Leon would like have lost interest after he let him stay at the House of Rising Sun, and then Tam's just like, let's put him in a crate. He's like, sure.
Alright, so what do you think you want to try to get him in a crate and then insinuate him as inventory onto this?
Not even that. Just like, leave it by the docks.
And just see if they take
it. Hey, here's the important thing. You gotta poke air holes when he gets out of straight axe.
So on the grave. Can you breathe in there?
He's breathing fine. He couldn't scream that loud if he wasn't breathing.
Send Polo in to make sure.
No, don't send the dog.
And you see a shot from inside the crate, and it's just Polo's face under it.
Just smiling.
All right, give me some type of roll, some type of skill to see if you can get this thing to a place where it's going to end up where it needs to be. Anybody, give me something.
Well, Leon's not going to pick that up.
Would you consider this person inside the crate an animal? Are we not all animals? An animal that could be handled?
I'm already regretting this. No.
Oh, fine. Can I intimidate a crate into place?
You can maybe intimidate one of the crew to be like, you know, maybe someone's loading deckhands, like loading stuff up. Like, hey, make sure you take this too, you know, if you want. Okay. I go with that.
Hey, brother, it's Lathander's will that this crate be on that cargo hold in that there ship, and Lathander's will.
If I was a deckhand, I'd be like, whatever, we'll get this guy to leave me the hell alone. All right, roll me a dice. Let's see what you got.
All right. 18 plus 3.
Okay, it works. All right. They load this thing up. You assume he has enough water inside the crate to sustain himself for however long the trip is. Okay, so that one goes okay. So I'm gonna mark that down. I'm gonna mark that down as a tentative success.
Nice.
Okay. All right.
We can't lose.
You can't lose. Not even God himself can stop you. Okay. So here's the thing, too. So about 4 months ago, right? Probably actually approaches. I'm actually going to say they approach Blaze on the street, because despite how much Blaze has been keeping his distance, people still know you're like associated with this group. In some form or fashion. Someone approaches you and basically gives you a missive that is supposedly from the Richter Initiative itself. It needs to go to a local kind of gang leader named Dresden Twice Dead.
Okay.
So you're supposed to take it, and they just want you to deliver this parcel. That's all they want you to do. They give it to Blaze.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Then at that point, Blaze feels this is way too much responsibility. So this would prompt him to like regroup with the boys at the latrine, and say, yes, it is I, Blaze.
Holy shit, where'd you come from?
Wait a minute.
Yes.
You're that lizard man that's been haunting my boy's dreams.
No. No, I don't know.
What are you doing here?
I'm just in the neighborhood. I don't know what you mean.
Are you mocking me?
We have package. No.
Why do you sound like me?
I don't. You have a very contagious accent.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Okay. Sapakera. Blazy says that there's a... Fuck. Blazy wants... there's package. There's package that's come through. We must deliver.
Why?
I don't know.
I had lost interest. I'll go somewhere else.
You know that it's from the Richter, and there is, and again, there is this, and by the way, the Richter, and there maybe might be a message, like maybe a message for you with this particular parcel that says, by the way, we do know where you are, and there are people looking for you. It would be a shame if they found out where you were, if they found out that you were in Lake Forge. So there is an underlying kind of bit of threat. Mm-hmm. It sounds like both the Inquisitors and the Glomdroth family, the family of Stephen, a very powerful family in the Empire, it seems like both groups might have it in for you.
Damn it, Blaze, you should have led with that.
Well,
tell you what, Blaze, I might be willing to help you out if you pledged your life to Lathander, the Morning Lord.
Absolutely.
What about if you opened your heart to the possibility of one day maybe pledging your life to Lathander, the Morning Lord?
That's how they get you. Mm.
You know what, actually,
you like the ball of stew, brother?
He asks this at least 2 times a day. He has slow memory. He won't remember.
I'm not. Maybe temp. Maybe. And he's got something scheming. It's very suspicious that he would say maybe, but maybe.
Maybe he's good enough for me, brother. What do you need done? Who do you need it done to?
So,
this package, you need to take it.
Go to Dresden twice dead.
Twice dead?
Yep. That guy.
Like twice dead. Twice baked potato?
Something like that. You guys eventually find yourself within the inner sanctum of Dresden twice dead, who is one of the biggest gang leaders in all of Lake Forge. And you deliver this message. You deliver the message, and Dresden takes it. Dresden is an absolutely imposing half-orc who is known for not just being physically imposing, but also intellectually imposing as well, being quite the schemer himself. You guys deliver this. Dresden opens the letter in front of you, reads it, and basically wads it up in a ball, throws it on the floor, and goes to leave the room and basically tells his men to kill you. So
this is another mission that we're trying to see if we accomplish or part of.
So how do you guys think you survived that encounter?
Temp definitely picks up the piece of paper and reads what was on it. He probably can't read. Hey, I don't know. He hands it to Liam.
It basically states that something to the effect of that Dresden owes a bunch of money to the Richter and that they're going to come for him, that they need him to pay up.
Blaze, this is your fault. I did not want to do this, and you gave us this message and gave us this mission. You deal with these people. What? So Leon wants Blaze to handle the...
How is Blaze going to
I think he'll just try and nuke them. He'll just, when they're unsuspectingly, he'll just poison spray them.
Oh,
just on the back. On the back of the
give
head.
Give me like an Arcana roll or something like that. Let's see how well this goes.
So like shooting
a roll 20 run.
A can of mace in a car.
Exactly. And he's immune, so maybe it's when
fine.
Everybody else like goes out of the room and just... And he gets a 17 poison.
Oh, okay.
DC 13.
Yeah, no, that's one fine. You are able to... I will say that, you know, you don't necessarily kill any of the guys, any of the guards for the gang, but you are able to basically create such a clusterfuck. Like really do imagine that. Imagine a bunch of people all boiling up out of a room that's had, you know, tear gas. Like, and everyone's just like, except for Blaze, who's just walking out of there.
Blaze. He's just coughing lightly.
All right.
And he takes a breath mint and pops a breath mint.
Yeah. And yeah, so that, I mean, it works out okay. You guys get out of there, you delivered your message, you did your job.
We can't lose. What
you
did I say?
You cannot lose. So the last thing that happens, about a month ago, you guys were basically told you were some Richter agents show up with several crates. Several crates do not open. And they said, all you have to do, store these somewhere safe for just a few days and someone will be by to pick them up. That's all you have to do. That's it. That's all you have to do.
I imagine we're all four of us are just like sitting in the House of the Rising Sun, staring at the crates. And it's like,
it's not opening if they break. Oh, what if Polo falls into the crate? And it was, you know, these things happen.
Blaze throws Polo.
Polo's just at the window with his little hands on it, staring down at the crates. And just shivering ever so slightly.
He's like a picture of, like, what's the actor in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Elijah Wood.
Oh.
When he's so creepy in Sin City.
Oh, he's Sin City.
Yes, that is a perfect description.
Shall we let him loose on the crates?
If you're asking me, brother, I don't think we have much of an option.
Just let Bigger hold. I'll take care of it.
Polo, open.
Okay, Polo doesn't hesitate.
So is Polo going to attempt to open these things and tear them apart? Or is he going to attempt to get in them in a way that this happens?
He just wants to get inside a crate and see what's in there. That is all he's wanting. So he's definitely going.
I'm very proud of him. He's not using his knives. He's using his hands.
All right. No roll needed. He comes at this thing like some type of, I don't know, like caffeinated, rabid animal. just like launches at the crates and just tears into one of them. And you guys are very surprised to find that within them are like housed and like cushioned in straw are bags of sand.
I can do detect magic.
By all means. You find nothing. It's not magical sand. It appears to be completely irregular sand.
Oh, shit. It was a test.
I've done everything I can. They are mundane.
Polo chooses to open a second crate.
In the same man?
Yes. Same man. This is good.
Also, there are four crates. I'm going to go ahead and skip to the end. All of them have bags of sand.
And it's definitely not arcane.
It is 100% not arcane. Sam would know that it's.
Yeah.
I don't care for this. And.
Emily, I'll just give a shit. Okay. Yeah.
Polo at least closes the crates back.
Even though they're like all torn up.
Oh, never mind. He attempts to piece it together a little bit, you know. Okay, just kind of.
Is anyone going to help Polo?
Leon's not.
Okay.
Tamp is going to put a shit ton of milk and meat and gravy outside and try to create a feral cat epidemic. When the liaison comes in and looks at sees the crates, he's going to try to blame the feral cat.
It seems like he's been off the stuff for a while, so he has like two brain cells grow.
Alright, roll me some type of persuasion roll to see if you can convince. I want Tamp to do it. I want Tamp to roll a roll to see if he can convince the Richter liaison that this was indeed a renegade band of cats.
Don't even say it like that. okay. Persuasion is a plus zero. Here we go. 11. So
all right, hey.
So what does he do? What does he Tamp do?
Then? I'm telling you, brother, we got a cat problem.
the Richter liaison like shows up with a cart, and he passes you. You know, at least one of your group does have Richter cufflinks that kind of betray your association. he verifies who he is, and he sees the crates. And he just looks at them, he kind of like opens them a little bit, sees that they're all fucked up, sees that there's cat shit everywhere, I guess. And then he like sees like a, you know, like a jug of milk that's there. And Tamp's just going on. It was crazy. They came out of nowhere.
Like a whirlwind, like a gosh dang tornado.
Ben's down the public. He's on the stuff again.
It's on the stuff.
I had such high hopes.
Oh, freaking out, brother.
needless to say, when he leaves, you get the feeling that he does not believe.
I think we're good, guys. Oh, we pulled it off.
Yeah. So, and now here we are after all of this. That's what's been going on for the last year, is you guys have been very triggered by. And again, like, you know, Leon, at this point in time, the money's basically, it's not that you're about to run out of money. But they're like just as much as coming in as is going out, and you don't have all this money anymore. Between paying off people, and everything, it's just been a lot. But one day, for whatever reason, you guys are all there, even if Blaze is outside skulking. You, Blaze, maybe Blaze is outside. It's like a dark, kind of stormy evening. Again, you guys are on the dockside. You get a lot of traffic from sailors. And you see someone who appears to be dressed as a sailor, but you instantly know that it is indeed not a sailor. But at least Blaze does when he sees him. He is Ejavar. It is the Richter agent who you originally met in the courtroom over a year ago. He's this tiefling, like tall, skinny, these black horns that just go straight back against his head. And he comes in and makes it very clear that he has something, that he needs to talk to you guys in private. Do you think there's a lot of patrons in there, or do you need a private room, or?
I don't know how good is Tamp at bringing followers to the House of the Rising Sun.
Well, he's got.
Do they think he's a freak, or do they actually like?
Well, I mean, there's always people who legitimately need a hand. Mm-hmm. You know, so like if you're basically operating kind of like a weird tavern soup kitchen thing, and somehow trying to scam people who have no money out of money, whatever. You know, so whatever happens, like
I would say. We don't need a private room. Let's say we're just doing it in the open.
Okay. You know, and this might be the kind of place, this side of town, sketchy shit happens in taverns all the time. Everyone knows better, but they even pay attention. Ejavar sits down with you guys, and he basically tells you, he's like, you know, it's over the last year. Damn it, I'm doing it too. Shit.
Are you bothered with this game? I am mocking you.
Over the last year, we have been monitoring the situation here, and I can say that you have done some good work for us. We really appreciate it, and after all, you did owe us quite a lot.
Who are you again?
We're not doing this, Leon. I'm sorry, no quit for that one.
I legitimately don't remember you, bro. I'm sorry.
I'm the one who brought you Steven. I got you out of being executed, of being hung.
I remember him.
Thank you.
He's not so bad.
Well, Olo vouches for you. I guess it can't be all bad. Bring it in, brother. Hugs him.
How is Steven doing?
Steven died with you.
Who are you?
Are you sure?
Holy shit, where'd you come from?
Yes, Blaze, it is important that you are here as well. Listen. You indeed owe the Richter a great deal, and we always collect on our debts. That being said, I have a proposition for you. Something that would alleviate you not only of your debt to us, but actually put you in a superior position in the end. Mm. Something where the Richter could call on you instead of debtors, that we would call on you as kind of consultants. We would be able to enrich you.
Oh, I get it.
Yes.
Rich.
I'm a man of the cloth these days. I don't have much interest in riches.
Perhaps you have interest in doing good and lawful things.
I want a church.
Wow, that.
I want a big church.
A big one, huh?
Stained glass.
Okay.
All 9 yards.
Yeah. Ethan.
I think we can. I like where your head's at, Tamp. I was worried that since getting off the sauce that you weren't, that you've lost your edge, but I see.
Been sober for 1 year and 2 months. Okay. Praise Lathander.
Praise Lathander, correct. Yes, but I think that this would be beneficial to all of you, free you from the yoke of the debt that you owe us, and I would say that we might be able to make your position here in Lake Forge a little more tenable. Maybe intervene for you with some of the local gangs so you can start making some real money.
You mean leave this dock?
You could even leave the dock district.
I'm all ears.
Well, Leon's in the Blaze.
Ah! He keeps the hood.
I quite like it here. But I will go where everybody else goes.
Okay.
And I will become more French. As we go on.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Leon.
Listen. He is the... He's what we need of you. We need you to infiltrate the Irrigan Academy of Magical Studies. Somewhere high in the towers or low in the dungeons is a particular sample of a mineral that we need. It is called arcite. It is rare and odd in that it grows much like bone rather than crystal. It is very hard to find, as mysterious as an in its origins as it is in its uses. But nonetheless.
We know this is a spot in town, academy in town, or is this out of town?
I will tell you this. I'll go ahead and give you the background for the academy, for those of you who know. And this is the kind of thing that I imagine probably Polo and Tamp have maybe heard of, but don't give much of a crap about. It doesn't seem like their kind of thing. A magical academy? What's that? I don't know. Is Polo secretly like a... Does Polo like secretly have like a master's degree?
Oh, what was your thesis?
No, Polo would not secretly have a master's degree. Yeah, he was raised by blood gnomes.
That's right.
Would Blaze know about this place?
Oh, Blaze, sorcerer. You two, I'd say the two of you both would, as spellcasters, especially Leon being an artificer. The Irrigan Academy is several weeks away. You're not sure how you get there, really. But it is basically the preeminent magical university of the entire empire. It's built...
Oh, the entire empire.
The entire empire. Wow. It's built in an old citadel that was then basically converted into a university. Mm-hmm. Where they train magic users, also in mundane studies, even law. Like, you know, it is a big, huge university. Well known as the history of the place. It's just steeped in history. It's like very much part of the empire, this building in and of itself and the institution of the university. And Ejabar would tell you that about 2 weeks from now, they are throwing a gala at the university where they basically have all of the donors come in, all the rich people who have buildings named after them and stuff like that. Every other year, they throw a big gala, and they have all these people in, and they show off all the stuff they're doing, and they show off their best and their brightest, and they do a good bit of fundraising, too. But that is by far, as Ejabar makes it very clear, this is going to be your way in. There's very few opportunities for something like this at the Academy. An opportunity for them not just to open the doors, but to invite a multitude of people in. Many opportunities for you to blend in. And we have pre-placed some agents within the academy that we basically have a few avenues for you to pick from. I'm sure you four have continued to hone your skills over the last year, and that you are even more powerful and capable than the last time we encountered you. Isn't that right?
Yes, can you tell us more about this mineral bone thing? Like, how much would it be worth if you were to sell it?
I'm not going to tell you.
What does it do?
The uses of this, to be frank, with you, Leon, this is not my forte. I am not, acquainted with the use of odd minerals.
But you said a sorcerer would know, and then he looks at Blaze.
I would say that either of you could actually, if you wanted to, like, roll some type of arcana or alchemy or something like that, like whatever skills you have, you could probably roll something to see if you knew.
If I know kind of what they're... Okay.
If you've never heard of this...
I'm going to roll an Arcana. And that is a 14.
14. You may have heard of it before, but you don't really know anything about its properties. Other than that, it is not terribly strong. So it's not good as like a metal. Mm-hmm. And that whatever uses it has for rituals and stuff like that are so vague and so far flung that you don't know if you've ever heard of a single spell that uses it as a magical component.
Look here, brother. When I hear bones, you ain't getting us into some dark shit, are you? Ain't nothing I can abide less than necromancers.
Oh, wow.
You ain't a necromancer, are you?
No, I'm not a necromancer. I wish you would stop saying it like that.
If it was, I'd fuck you up.
I understand that. I'm not totally sure what this comes from echelons above, you see. But the lowdown here is that we need your group to infiltrate. I have three pre-prepared ways for you to possibly enter into the university itself. That is either as guest or nobles, as a group of nobles and a noble and is and the noble's repertoire. As staff, they've brought in many staff members, waiters, cooks, that kind of thing. Or last, possibly as foreign diplomats or even students from far-flung kingdoms. This is often an opportunity for people to visit the university and determine whether or not they want to come from, especially families of high power. Please.
Could you tell me the fourth way in? And he slides him a note to try and bribe a fourth way out, and he's going to persuade him.
When you
him.
Say a note, you mean a, like paper money?
Yeah, like a money.
Which doesn't money, exist in this gold. World?
He gives him five gold okay. pieces
to try just and bribe him. Right, this is worth
five. This is worth five. It's like a dollar bill with Blaze's face in the middle. Like...
And he slaps it on the table and is going to roll persuade.
Okay.
he gets a 14.
He
for a fourth.
He reaches over and slides the gold towards himself and sticks it in his breast pocket and says, "There is no fourth way." Listen, I'm not saying that you can't get creative here, gentlemen. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that these are areas that we have agents already insinuated. And due to some of the good work that you've done for us over the years, over this last year, I think we might be able to help you set up as well. That basically the missions that you've done in the year since will give you a certain amount of favors.
I sure am sorry about all them cat shitting and pissing you're saying.
Oh, it's okay.
Yes, Mr. Cat. Mr. eyes, Polo.
Polo kind of just goes and hides behind Tam.
Now, listen. We are prepared. If you are prepared to take this offer, I have a teleportation circle prepared nearby. We can teleport all the way to Queen's Landing, which is near the university, and then from there you can plan for the next 2 weeks.
Yes. Do we have to make the decision on this route, our flavor of entry now?
You may make it when you arrive at the Queen's Landing.
Okay. Can we have a moment for my two comrades and the random lizard man?
Yes. Yes, of course. I'm going to have a cigarette.
Yes, yes.
As he lights up a candle and leaves.
So, I do not like him. I do not like owing money. I propose we steal this item and fake our death.
We have found the fourth way.
But how do I get a church then?
You do not understand, Tam. With this magical bone crystal, you can have many churches.
Many churches?
Yes, yes.
How many churches?
How many do you want?
Like two or three?
Yes.
That's a lot of churches.
And Polo, knives. Churches and knives.
Knife churches.
I just want to kill the guy.
You mean the tiefling?
Yes.
I suggest we go to the circle of transportation, and then I do not care.
Deal.
Are you in, Blaze?
What do I get?
Leon eyes him. He's like, he kind of knows that he's like kind of on the same level as him. I'm just like,
that's why you guys don't get along.
Blaze.
50% partnership.
We cut the bone crystal down the middle. And he puts out his hand.
No, we cut your business down the middle.
You want the sun, House of the Rising Sun?
All businesses.
50-50. Yes. All my businesses. You get half. Yes.
I wish the audio could pick up Brad's sick smile. I don't know what it means.
It's so creepy.
Deal, and you deal. Stop haunting my dear Polo's dreams.
Sweet, sweet sorrow.
Aunt Karen.
It deal. Is a deal. You can't go back. You can't go back no matter what. Okay.
Ezebar comes back. He says, have we reached an accord?
We have. We will follow you to this academy and do your bidding.
Excellent. Gentlemen, I hope that this is going to be the start of a very beautiful friendship. Something far beyond our relationship thus far. Something to new and bright. To the ship. He takes you guys to a nearby ship, and like it's getting the storms are getting pretty bad. Lots of ships moored here that would normally be out and about. He takes you on to a large vessel, and you guys go down to the hold, and there you see, and there are like some like cloaked guards and whatnot, and there you see several mages who are all on their hands and knees with chalk. Inscribing, it seems to be just finishing up a teleportation circle. You guys step in, Ezebar with you, or Ezebar stays outside the circle, and he just says, I will meet you in Queen's Landing a week after the gala. Make sure to have what we agreed on, the Ossite, and stay alive. If you are caught, we never knew you. He speaks the command word, and you guys instantly teleport far across the Empire, far back across the Silver Plains, and find yourself kind of popping into existence in what appears to be some type of warehouse where there are, again, are a few shady people all kind of standing around. They quickly usher you out the doors and onto the street and tell you basically that you have a room at a nearby tavern. And they, as they scrape up and destroy the teleportation circle, and you guys now have the next 2 weeks and the next little bit here to decide how you're going to infiltrate the academy. And with that, we are going to take a bit of a break. We're going to swap over some recordings and whatnot. And I'm looking forward to getting the rest of this, guys. You guys are down for the some heist planning?
Yeah.
You guys ready for a Google Fashion heist?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Nice. All right, everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us for the one shot. We will catch you next time. Come back next week, and we will get right back into it. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.